Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Today is Monday, June 8th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Monday. You see your sarcasm in my voice. Mondays are always tough for me. It was a very long weekend. It was a very long week last week, but we're back. It's Monday, and we got 4.5 more days to go until we get back to Friday. It's 74 degrees and very cloudy here in upstate New York, quite humid. Apparently, we had a big thunderstorm last night that I completely missed, which means that I was out cold. It was a long, long, long weekend. And by the end, I completely passed out. So where do we begin Monday this week? Last week, we ended with a show titled Petri Dishes, Kill Switches, and Self-Replicating Nano. If you remember, we talked about these self-replicating DNA nano-synthetic particles that they were working on, which is the thing that nightmares are made out of. Definitely, definitely something to keep an eye on. I don't know really where we're going to go today, but I did want to do a couple updates. We have been looking at anthrax and the entire massive anthrax quote-unquote debacle that's been going on, where they've been shipping it all across the world for who the hell knows how long, and then we discover that hold on one second here, and then we discover that the process for killing the anthrax to begin with was faulty. We also want to take a look at MERS. There was an update over the weekend of the MERS epidemic that's happening in South Korea right now. And get those out of the way, and then I have a couple other things we're going to take a look at. So I did not see any news this weekend in regards to updates on this anthrax. I think when we left things on Friday, it was 51 labs that the Dugway Proving Grounds had shipped anthrax to, maybe 18 states, I believe, three different countries. And there were a few reports and a press conference at the end of last week that basically said that the process that they had been using all this time with x-rays or gamma rays to kill the anthrax apparently had not been sufficient to kill all the anthrax. And they really didn't know how many locations had been affected, how long this has been going on. But the thing that really got me was the fact that a year ago, we had had something very similar happen at the CDC, where they had been shipping these samples out via baggie to different locations and then discovered that it had not been fully killed. And I guess here's my question. As we're watching the terror mantra ramp up across the country and all of these federal agencies warning us that we should be afraid, very afraid, because there's terrorists under every bed, here we have these very same agencies who quote unquote said they were keeping us safe, who are just a bunch of cluster F's running around not having any clue apparently what they're doing. So let's read the story. This came out of The Guardian, looks like yesterday. Latest anthrax scare points to dangerous lack of accountability, experts warned. Whoa, you think? This is what I've been saying. It says 1 week after the terrorist attack in New York and 9/11, another attack on the U.S. began, and that was letters containing spores of anthrax, a weaponized bacterial agent, and they were posted to post offices of several newspapers and two Democratic senators. 22 people were infected and 5 died. Anthrax is a bacterium also often found in soil, according to Gerald Lankin, a doctor who co-edited a book on toxicoterrorism. Its spores are 1 to 5 microns across, small enough to get into human lungs, and the initial symptoms of infection look like flu, but quickly progress to sepsis, hemorrhagic meningitis, and death. Once it progresses to those last stages, the fatality rate is around 95%. And we also discovered, according to the CDC, that you typically don't show symptoms until it is too late. Over the last few weeks, it was revealed that anthrax was sent to. Da, 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 the number's gone up. 52 laboratories in 18 states, plus South Korea, Canada, and Australia. 31 people received treatment for possible exposure. And in 2014, a similar incident saw 75 people possibly exposed to the pathogen, and that was the CDC incident last summer. The difference is this. The first incident was a quote-unquote terrorist attack. The second and the third incidences were accidents, quote-unquote. Samples of the pathogen that were supposed to be inactivated were sent to laboratories by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention in 2014 and the Department of Defense most recently. The origin point of this year's accident was Dugway Proving Grounds in Utah, a military facility which produces anthrax in industrial quantities for the purpose of military research, detection mainly, and as a countermeasure. The post 9/11 era saw a huge expansion in the security state. The bioweapon industry was no different. After the 2001 terror attacks with anthrax, known to some as Amerithrax, which I never heard that before, and there was a 20 to 40% increase in the number of institutions and individuals working with biological weapons like anthrax. How great is that? According to Richard Ebright, a molecular biologist and biosecurity expert at Rutgers University, in response to questions from The Guardian, a spokesman for the CDC said that there were 181 organizations or entities such as Dugway registered as working with live anthrax and 321 organizations in total working with live pathogens. Within those 321 entities, according to the Government Accountability Office, there were some 1,495 laboratories accredited under the Federal Select Agent Program to work with live pathogens such as anthrax, and a much larger number working with the inert versions of the same pathogen. Yes, and the scary thought is all of those much larger numbers that have been approved for working with inert pathogens were on that list to receive this anthrax that got shipped out that apparently wasn't killed. Now get this. There is no official government body to oversee production and research of bioweapons that does not, as the CDC does, engage in its own active pathogen research and no apparent fixed official guidelines for regarding their handling. That was something that we talked about briefly on Friday after we listened to a clip. They were saying that all of these different organizations that get shipped this material are not under some sort of standardized process and procedure by some big entity in the sky. They all do their own thing. They all have separate standard operating procedures. And how the hell can you keep control of anything like that? Anyone who's come from the military or military background or a corporate background that's gone under ISO certification knows that you need to have standard operating procedures in a large organization in order to keep order. Okay, you can't just do things willy-nilly, and every Joe Schmo who gets their hands on, you know, their own